Hi everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of Haunted Hill Country. I'm your host, Maddie Thomason. I've lived in and around Austin, Texas my whole life, and I love a good ghost story. So, once a month, I will be telling y'all a tale about one of Central Texas's most iconic haunts. For the first episode, I decided to go big and choose a location with more than a century's worth of haunted history. Sitting at the corner of Brazos and 6th in Austin, Texas, the Driscoll Hotel looks like it's from another era. Surrounded by the high-rises of Austin, the Driscoll sits like a time capsule into the city's past. There is constant commotion on the streets that surround the building. Now, I have a confession to make. I was born in Austin, and I've always lived here, but until this episode, I had never actually been to the Driscoll. I mean, I guess when you live somewhere, you don't stay at the hotels there, but still. When I decided on this location, I was excited. I've always been interested in ghosts and stories of haunted history ever since I was a kid. My guilty pleasure is ghost hunting shows, both fictional and documentary. I think it stems back to my need to understand why when it comes to everything. In this world, there are those who believe in the paranormal, those who are skeptical, and those who actively work to disprove it. This lack of agreement on something so hard to understand fascinates me. Growing up in Austin and Central Texas, I've had an interest in the places around me rumored to be a little spooky. That includes the Driscoll. I've always wanted to go, and I've heard some of the urban legends surrounding the hotel, but I had never taken the time to look into them with any depth. Here I find myself, with a golden opportunity to learn about Austin's longest operating hotel and the ghosts that are still rumored to be checked in there. When the Driscoll opened its doors in 1886, according to its website, the hotel was, and I quote, heralded by a special supplement in the Daily Statesman that proudly touts the Driscoll as one of the finest hotels in the whole country, end quote. And having now been there, I can attest that the Driscoll is beautiful. If you're ever in downtown Austin, go into the lobby for a bit. It's open to the public. That's what I did one Saturday evening in late October when I met Monica Ballard near the Brazos entrance of the Driscoll. Monica is an author of paranormal histories in addition to being a tour guide and paranormal investigator at Austin Ghost Tours. In 2012, she published her book, True Haunted Tales of the Driscoll Hotel. I drove to meet her in the Driscoll's lobby after work one day to talk about the hotel and its haunted history. Although Monica has been in the hotel many times, this was my first time to ever visit the Driscoll. As I walked down Brazos Street from 5th to 6th, I was stunned by the hotel's beauty and its presence. It stood out from everything around it, like a corner of downtown was frozen in time. This feeling only grew as I stepped inside. Monica was sitting on a couch near the door. I walked over to her and introduced myself. I couldn't help but look around and take in my surroundings. In the hotel's lobby are numerous chandeliers and stained glass. Tall columns extend from floor to ceiling, and there is a full-body portrait of Colonel Jesse Driscoll, the hotel's original owner, hanging centered on the wall at the top of the first stair landing overlooking the room. It's a large painting in a thick gold frame. Colonel Driscoll stands stiffly in a black suit with a white beard, probably 3 inches in length. His expression is blank. It feels as if he's staring past you. As I bring my attention back to the couch I am sitting on with Monica, I ask her to tell me about her first time at the hotel.
My very first time visiting the Driscoll Hotel was before I started doing the ghost tours. It was when I first moved to Austin 20 years ago, and I was working for an ad agency, and my client was staying here. And so I said, well, I'll meet you downstairs at the bar. I'll go ahead and order for you, and ordered for him. And I remember sitting under a big cow head and thinking to myself, dang, I live in Texas. How the hell did this happen? And this is the first bar that I ever drank in, was the Driscoll Bar. And I've loved it ever since. It's this place has a great ambiance. It is old Texas. And if you want the quintessential Texas experience, you come to the Driscoll, absolutely.
Monica told me there are many ghosts at the Driscoll, but for the sake of this podcast, I will be focusing on the stories of Colonel Driscoll, the original owner, and the supposed senator's daughter. Let's start with Colonel Driscoll. In her book, Monica writes that, quote, legend has it that in the mere 5 months that he owned the Driscoll, from December 1886 through May 1887, the colonel could often be seen glad-handing guests in the lobby and dining rooms, puffing on a cigar. I did some research and found his grave. He died in 1890 at the age of 65 and is buried in Austin's historic Oakwood Cemetery, also rumored to be very much haunted. The cemetery is just east of Interstate 35 off of Martin Luther King Boulevard. His headstone is weathered and simple. The edges have been blackened by time. There's some moss growing on top. The inscription reads, "He loved his fellow man." I asked Monica if she believes she's encountered the spirit of the colonel.
I have encountered Colonel Driscoll. He generally comes through with the smell of cigar smoke.
According to the Texas State Historical Association, Jesse Driscoll was born on November 4th, 1824, in White County, Tennessee. In 1847, he moved to Berry County, Missouri, and married Nancy Elizabeth Jane Day. After 4 years, the couple moved to Bastrop, Texas. For those who aren't from the area, Bastrop is about 40 minutes by car southeast of Austin. Jesse Driscoll ended up going into merchandising business, which is a fancy way of saying he bought finished goods and resold them. He ended up moving from Bastrop to San Antonio to San Marcos, then Bryan, all within 100 miles of Austin. He entered the cattle business in 1857. Driscoll provided both the Confederate Army and the Texas Rangers with beef during the Civil War and was paid in Confederate dollars. However, by the end of the war, he was broke and had no cattle. Along with his brother-in-law, William Day, he worked to rebuild himself by herding cattle on the Chisholm Trail, which ran through central Texas up north into Kansas. In 1871, Driscoll, his wife, and his six children moved to Austin. It was there that he was given the honorary title of Colonel. In 1885, he purchased the land that the Driscoll would be built on for $7,500, and he opened the hotel in December of 1886. The family lost their wealth in 1888 due to a freeze that killed 3,000 of their cattle, and Jesse Driscoll was forced to sell the hotel. In 1890, he died of a stroke. According to the Texas State Historical Association, he died, some say, as a broken man. I wondered to myself why Colonel Driscoll's spirit would remain at the hotel if he lost the Driscoll 2 whole years before he died. I brought this up to Monica.
The ghosts that haunt here don't necessarily have to have died here. It's because they were passionate about the place. They worked here, they put in so many hours here, they loved the place, and in some cases, yeah, they have died here. And this is the last place in this dimension that they knew of, and they like sticking around.
The next story I tell you will be about the ghost referred to as the Senator's Daughter. Now, I'm going to give you as much context and historical background as I can, but this ghost's exact identity has never been discovered. I want to start by telling you the urban legend about her. The story goes that the girl was at the hotel with her father, the supposed senator, who was in town for some sort of important business. The girl, who was supposed to be around 4 years old, fell down the staircase in the hotel's lobby while chasing a ball, and she died. The staircase is the same one I mentioned earlier where Colonel Driscoll's portrait hangs. Now again, as I just mentioned, unlike Colonel Driscoll, the girl's identity is unknown. Many theorize that she is the granddaughter of Sam Houston. Houston's son, Temple, who served in the Texas Senate from 1885 to 1889, is said to be her father. Of course, none of this is substantiated, so take it with a grain of salt. I asked Monica her thoughts on who the girl is.
The hotel, and there are some tours as well, who call her Samantha, because they believe that she is she's the daughter of Temple Lee Houston, the granddaughter of Sam Houston. But we've done the genealogy, and Temple Lee Houston did not have a daughter that age who would have fallen down the stairs. We don't even know if she's actually the daughter of a senator, but she was the daughter of a prominent family in Austin. So we do know that much. But her identity is still a mystery to us. And because I wanted to find out her true identity, I've had two kids on my tour, like 2 years apart, who were able to see a child in a purple dress on the stairs. And I'd say, is she talking to you? Say, oh yeah. I said, would you ask her her name? And both of them said Edith. Now, if a child is going to make up a name in this day and age of an imaginary person they see on the stairs, it is not going to be Edith. It's going to be Sierra or Brittany or something like that. It is not going to be Edith. Edith is an old-fashioned name.
Despite not knowing who the girl is, I chose to talk about her because of the stories Monica told me. From her experience of giving tours to groups in the Driscoll, she's noticed that the girl interacts with adults and children differently. Adults will hear her giggling or feel her pull on their clothes, but children, she says, can sometimes see her completely. She told me about an encounter a mother and daughter had with the senator's daughter while she was giving them a tour of the Driscoll.
And then I was telling the story about how she interacts with adults and children differently. That adults will hear her laughter or the bounce of the ball that she plays with. Women will feel a tug on their skirts or men on their suit coats. But children can actually sometimes see her, like these two kids did, and she'll extend her ball and ask them to play with her. And as I told that story one night over by the stairs, a mother and a daughter took a photo toward the banister rail. Nothing appeared in the mother's photo, but when I saw the expression on the daughter's face, I got my phone, and I said, okay, show me that. And I took a photo of her photo. Because 9 times out of 10, even though they pinky swear, they're gonna send the photo in, doesn't always happen. And I didn't wanna miss out on this. The stairs were blocked off, and there was a security guard stationed at the bottom, making sure that no one was going to go up the stairs to crash the wedding reception up there. And yet, this girl on my tour captured a photo of a little face between the banister rails peering up at the top of the staircase. So I took the phone and went over to Edwin, the security guard, over by the velvet ropes, and I said, how are you tonight, sir? And he said, I'm doing very well, Monica. How about yourself? I said, well, I'm a little confused. I mean, here you are, you got the velvet ropes out. He said, yeah. I said, you're standing guard, too. He said, yeah. I said, man, woman, nor child gonna get past you to get up to that party upstairs, am I right? He said, what are you getting at? And I showed him the photo on my phone of this little face between the banister rails, and without even really looking at his watch, he just lifted up his arm and he said, oh, look at that, I do believe my shift is over. I was he just left the station and was like, no more of that.
Monica showed me the photo. It was definitely spooky, for lack of a better word. I'll share it on Haunted Hill Country's social media accounts, so check it out there. It looked authentic to me, but my opinion is only that, my opinion. Before I left, I wanted to ask Monica why she thought the Driscoll was haunted.
We at Austin Ghost Tours have found that there are three criteria that we generally look for when we hear about activity going on at a building. And it's these three things: that it is near water, that it's an old building, and that there's still lots of life in that building. And people look around, they say, okay, but where's the water? The water here is underground. Downtown Austin is honeycombed with underground streams and springs. that rise up. This used to be the site of the city bathhouse. So when the colonel built the hotel, he tore down the city bathhouse and constructed this hotel out of limestone, granite. The pillars in here are cast iron. There's lots of glass and brass and activity. And a lot of times, hauntings have less to do with the number of deaths that have taken place in the building than the amount of life and passion that there still is in that building. And I believe that it's that that combination of the movement of the underground water combining with the building materials and the activity in the building that acts as a sort of battery that charges and charges and charges, and every now and then something is released in an extraordinary way.
Now for my final thoughts. I never want to make definitive statements about the paranormal because I am a lady who likes proof. If I don't have 100% evidence, then that is that. I cannot share my word as fact. What I can do is share my opinion based on my visit to the Driscoll, my conversation with Monica, and my research into the hotel. I think there is something more to the Driscoll. Maybe it's paranormal, or maybe it's just the energy of the building's history, but when you walk inside, you feel its grandness. You can see how the building has stood the test of time. There's constantly commotion and people and events. This century plus old hotel is still very much alive, and it has been for all of these years. If you have had a supernatural experience at the Driscoll, send me a tweet at Haunted Hill Country so that we can feature your account on our website and share it on social media. And with that, this concludes the first episode of Haunted Hill Country. Join us next month as I highlight a few stories from Austin's oldest cemetery, Oakwood, which I mentioned earlier in this episode. As always, you can follow me at Maddie_Thomason on Twitter, and for extra content and podcast announcements, follow at Haunted Hill Country on Twitter as well. Until next time, stay spooky.